Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be looking at vitamin D and how it improves our gut flora, especially if you have any form of metabolic syndrome like diabetes or heart disease from Shuchun University in China. We're also going to examine how a food supplement can make a big difference in a rare disease, neurological disease, from Tel Aviv University research. And when you're overweight, according to the Helmholtz University in Germany, that adversely affects the DNA methylation. What does that mean in lay language? I'll explain. Violence spreads like a disease among adolescents, a new study of Ohio State University. And a high dietary processed meat, there's your pizzas, linked to worsening asthma symptoms. Now that's not good, so we'll talk about that. And also how quercetin dramatically reduces the risk of death from coronary heart disease by 68%. Wow. So why aren't all the cardiologists suggesting that people use it? Well, I'll give you some insights, as I recently had, as I do every year, a full physical, and that includes a separate evaluation, about 2-hour cardiovascular stress test, where I talk with the cardiologist about his state of knowledge and are the patients benefiting from it? Also today, I'm going to share some additional insights about the CDC is now blocking testimony by vaccine whistleblower Dr. William Thompson in a medical malpractice case. And yesterday I mentioned about how bad the environment is shaping up to be, but most people don't want to hear this. Well, today, from Common Dreams, there's a new report. And it says climate change and the coming, quote, humanitarian crisis of epic proportions. Wow. They're looking at tens of millions of climate refugees. So today I'm going to do my annual report on the state of our planet, all based on quality science. I think you'll find that of interest. And we also have a lot that we're going to look at when it comes to some audio clips. I'll share that with you a little later. Let's begin. First up, quercetin is very abundant in things such as apples and in onions. I always believe in taking quercetin, that's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin, at half the amount of vitamin C. So if I took 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, I would take 5,000 milligrams of quercetin in divided doses. What can quercetin do? Well, aside from what I'm going to talk about heart disease in a moment and dying from it and helping you by 60%, I also would use quercetin if people bruised, if they had bleeding gums, if they had varicosities, varicose veins, spider veins, if they had poor circulation to their hair and scalp and is causing a falling out or thinning of their hair, if they had fungus under the nails, toenails, fingernails, if they had cancer, AIDS, I give a whole lot of suggestions on quercetin for these. But this is a brand new study, and here's what it says. It says, plant extracts like quercetin provide some of the most potent healing properties in the world. Compounds called flavonoids in certain vegetables and fruits can help protect you against oxidative damage and the stresses like environmental radiation and other toxins. Flavonoids can help fight diseases like cancer, diabetes, chemotherapy side effects, and cardiovascular issues. One of the most widely available and powerful flavonoids is quercetin. It's found in dark or bright colored vegetables, leafy vegetables, and other healthy foods. And now they're looking at it is lowering the risk of coronary heart disease by 68%. It says, quote, protect your heart. Quercetin benefits include protection against coronary heart disease. Now, quercetin has already been linked with immune system benefits, and that's why anyone I counsel who has a weakened immune system, I always suggest make sure you're using quercetin every day throughout the day, not just once a day. This is one of those things you should be taking 3, 4, 5 times a day along with vitamin C. It also fights free radical damage. Now, when we're exercising, we're creating free radical damage. We're creating what is known as oxidative stress. So if I were to go out for a 6-mile run around Central Park at 10K, I would make sure I took about 2,000 milligrams of quercetin before I went out and 2,000 milligrams when I came back. At about 1,000 milligrams, let's say, of vitamin C waking up in the morning is terrific, but also take vitamin C in larger amounts throughout the day after you finish your workout. Because the mere fact that we're exercising is great. It's great for our liver, our kidneys, our musculature, burning inner fat inside the cell. It is good for creating strength and endurance and stamina. These are all good, but it also prematurely ages the cell at the mitochondrial level because of oxidative stress and the breathing, heavy breathing, exertion. So it's a kind of double-edged sword. So good exercise, phenomenal for you. But take your supplements at the same time, and that can make a big difference. So now they've got this study and showed that when you take quercetin and you're going to reduce your risk of dying from a heart attack, you're going to lower your bad LDL cholesterol by 27% and increase your good HDL cholesterol by 33%. This is all good. And they weren't even taking that high amount of quercetin. Also, we found that from University of Arizona, the more connectivity you have in the brain, the healthier the brain is. That means that just visualize that you have hundreds of billions of neurons. And what connects a neuron, in addition to it, like a power grid, is an electrical wave station and that transformer, and then the wires that go out. Well, the wires that go out, these are called dendrites. So the more these dendrites you have that are intact, and the more these synaptic places that can move a neuron message from point A to point B, the more you're able to communicate. And the healthier your brain is. And the better your memory, better cognition. But as we drink alcohol, we snap those, and that's not good. So you need to be aware of how important it is. So make sure that you're getting a particular element. That's exercise, power walking, jogging, that's what does it. Here's what it says in the study. Exercise benefits have long been known to benefit the brain. Hundreds of studies have shown how almost any kind of exercise improves memory and other mental skills, also known as cognitive function. MRI scans now reveal that endurance runners' brains have greater functional connectivity than the brains of more sedentary individuals. University of Arizona researchers compared brain scans of young adults across country runners and to young adults who don't engage in regular physical activity. The runners overall showed greater functional connectivity, or connections between distinct parts of the brain within several areas of the brain, including the frontal cortex, which is important for cognitive functions such as planning, decision-making, and the ability to switch attention between tasks. So, when you're jogging, you're keeping the brain from prematurely aging. One of the fruits that I saw, I'm guessing 15 mango trees. Some are 20 years old, so they give you 500-600 mangoes. And there are different types of mangoes. There's over 2,000 different varieties of mangoes. And they're just power-packed with nutrition. And so when I'm traveling, I always like to see what kind of fruits they're growing. And when I was down in Cuba and in the Caribbean in general, whether it's the Dominican Republic, which represents one half the island of Hispaniola, but the other half is Haiti. They're both, in effect, you have two countries on one island. or the dominant one is Dominican Republic. But you'll see people, the poorest of the poor, growing mangoes, as mangoes can grow in the Caribbean 12 months a year. And I remember being in Cuba and driving down these roads, which were just loaded with potholes. And there's a law in Cuba that if you're driving a vehicle, the vehicle must always be open to anyone who doesn't have a ride to come in and take a seat. So everybody kind of gets in point A to point B, but they jerry-rig these truck beds where they put like a four-foot siding on going around, and a little step folds up, folds down. So these trucks are so little with people that they're going like 5 miles an hour. You get out and walk faster than most of these trucks in Cuba drive. And people all have their sun umbrellas, but all up and down the road, about every mile or two, you'll see a person just sitting by the road in a little lawn chair with an umbrella and buckets of fruit. And the most common fruit they offer is mangoes. So I bought a bucket of fruit, and it was a gallon bucket. I'm guessing there must be about 10 mangoes in it. And it was a quarter. Wow. So when I asked the person about how frequent is mangoes in the diet, he said, oh, we use mangoes in all kinds of dishes, and we just like to eat it. And he showed me how they cut it and how they eat it. Here's why I'm suggesting you have mangoes. Because it could be one of the single most powerful nutrients you put in your body. It can fight cancer. It can outlast the body. It can help you with weight loss. It can help you regulate diabetes. It helps digestion. It is low in calories. You only get about 105 calories in a whole mango. It's rich in vitamin C. It's rich in B6. It has good amount of vitamin A. But antioxidants like quercetin I just mentioned, and isoquercetin, and astragalin, and physalin, and gallic acid, these are all present in a mango. And all of that protects you against colon, breast, leukemia, and prostate cancers. It also helps keep your cholesterol in a healthier range. It's because of the fiber and the vitamin C, both of which help control cholesterol. It's really good as an alkalizer. If you take some mango and you puree it in a blender, it has what is called tartaric acid. Tar, T-A-R, taric, T-A-R-I-C, tartaric acid. It also has malic acid, M-A-L-I-C, and it has citric acid. And these are the ones that primarily help in maintaining an alkaline reserve in the body. So if you throw in a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, then you have something that really helps you. Now, if you know someone who's been drinking, the day after, morning after, they really need this. It also helps stimulate the liver and liver enzymes, get toxins out of the body. It's great for digestion. It helps you lose weight. It helps maintain a normal blood sugar level with if you have diabetes. And also, everywhere I went in the Caribbean, but especially in Trinidad and Barbados, they use the mango as an aphrodisiac. They claim that it's called the love fruit. And mangoes increase the virility of men, they claim. And it's abundant. And so they believe it regulates the sex hormones and boosts the sex drive. Now, have I seen actual science or study on that? No, I haven't. But also, I've spent enough time in the Brazilian rainforests and in forests, including the Blue Ridge Mountains in Jamaica, where you see from the what are called bush doctors. They have these little huts, and you go into these little huts. They have all these herbs and dried plants, and they tell you what something's good for. And all over Central and South America, you'll find these scientists working, these botanists and ethnobotanists working for pharmaceutical companies. They'll listen to the folklore. Well, what's supposed to help with cancer? What's supposed to help with diabetes? And once the regional population tells them, well, this is what we've been using for hundreds of years, they take that back and see if they can't synthesize a chemical out of it and then use that instead of the whole food. So it's big, so you might want to see if it helps your sex life. It's good for your eye care. It's rich in vitamin A, and we know that vitamin A is very important for vision. Yeah, it's great if you have problems with digestion, because mango, taken after a meal, helps break down the protein in the meal. So that helps you. It also is good if you've had a stroke. It can help rejuvenate the body in preventing another stroke. And it strengthens your immune system. And it aids in concentration memory. It's got what is known as glutamine acid, which is an important protein in cortical functions in the body, concentration, memory. So just some of the things I think people are not aware of about a simple thing that is right in front of us. It's a good tonic also. So those are some of the things about mango. And by the way, you can put a mango into a blender and blend it up. You can throw in a little cayenne in there. You can throw some herbs and have wonderful shakes. Also, from a research institute in France, from a hospital, the Pans-Paul Hospital, they found that 4 or more weekly servings of any form of processed meat, that's your bologna, salami, can have a negative impact upon asthma. Quote, a high dietary intake of cured and processed meats, such as ham and salami, is linked with worsening asthma symptoms. And this was published in Rex. And they said 4 or more servings a week triggers it. Cured and processed meats are rich in nitrites, and which have a role in airway inflammation and typically features those symptoms of asthma. So just get off the processed meats altogether. And finally, from Ohio State University, a new study of U.S. adolescents provides some of the best evidence to date of how violence spreads like a contagious disease. Researchers found that adolescents were up to 183% more likely to carry out some acts of violence if one of their friends had also committed the same act. But the spread of violence doesn't just stop at friends. Results suggest the contagion extends by up to 4 degrees of separation from one person to a friend, to the friend's friends, etc. This study shows just how contagious violence can be. And acts of violence can ricochet through a community, traveling through networks or friends. Do you remember about 3 years ago, we suddenly had this whole spree of people just slugging total strangers for no reason, no provocation. And some got broken jaws and fractured noses and fractured vertebrae. They would just walk up behind someone and just whack them right in the head. And then the younger people caught on, and this just became all the latest rage. Hey, we don't have anything better to do today, and our parents didn't tell us right from wrong, so let's just go out and beat the hell out of someone and put it up on Facebook, of course. What happened to an entire generation? I think it's time we had an honest, not politically correct, stick that where you know you should put all this politically correct anyhow, and just ask what kind of people will go out and intentionally violate the sanctity of another person's life, and yet they were doing it everywhere, every day. That's what happens when, you know, someone gets the idea of violence being a good thing, and it spreads. Well, take a look at all our movies. You're one of the most profitable centers in American entertainment are the video games. And you watch a video game, and it's violent. And then you can justify, well, if they're doing that violence, why can't I? Even passively. So we have a lot of passive-aggressive people in our society. And then in schools today, one of my friends who teaches in high school said that this is her last year. She's retiring. Not making it to retirement, but after 20 years, she's had enough, because she, from the time she entered till today, she said it's like Black War Jungle, the 1957-55 movie, Glenn Ford, about how punks take over a school. But it's much more violent today. And this is considered cool. And if you beat up a teacher, because you don't like what the teacher says to you, then everybody has to film it and share it. And these are the people who are going to make it a better world? I don't think so. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough. Oh, baby.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe.
I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world, and we have people listening all over the world. This is the number one listened to progressive radio station on the planet. And there's a reason why. With no publicity and no advertising and no stories, no interviews, you got to look at the numbers. Just one single one of the people that carry, we have about 20 different major services that carry it, 10 million listeners per month on one, 54 million downloads on another. So there's a lot of people who want to live a more progressive and idealistic life. For them, you will be, I believe, ahead of this curve. I'm going to share now with you my own commentary and insights on the state of the planet at this moment. Children born today have a high chance of being victims of an uninhabitable Earth. They may witness the end of humanity during their lifetimes. Hard to believe? Just scaring people about it? Not at all. This was the prediction of Frank Finner, a famous Australian scientist responsible for the eradication of smallpox in the 1970s. Depletion of natural resources, overpopulation throughout much of the world, unsustainable economies. We currently have an index in New York of 20,000 points. It's all a bubble. And yet people are euphoric. People are buying. People are going into debt. People are buying homes. We have a real estate bubble. We have a rental bubble. We have an equity bubble. We have a bond bubble. Get out of all of them. Get out, put your money into gold, silver, and U.S. Treasuries, and then hide it. That's my suggestion. Because I believe that we're going to see between a 50 to an 80% collapse with about $15 trillion of wealth wiped away. And when will it come? I can't tell you that for sure when, but I can guesstimate that once the people in the world see that Donald Trump is a better salesperson, he is at delivering, I think that then his core base will start to go against him, and then people lose confidence in him, and that's when you're going to see the collapse. But in any case, no matter who's in office, it doesn't change the fact that we have tens of millions of people right now on the planet who have to move, they have to migrate, because it's too hot to grow. Just imagine this. The hottest place in the world this past year was in Iran. It got up to 160 degrees one day. Now imagine if that's ambient hot, what would have been the earth hot? You couldn't have walked outside. Now any seed you had planted will die. Any crops were in the ground would have been killed. So that means you just contribute to the ongoing Middle East drought, which is what originally brought Syria to such a dismal state, because it was the breadbasket and couldn't grow enough food for its own people. Then you also have job scarcity. We're being told, look how good we're doing. We're not. Every journalist in America, in my opinion, personal opinion, who parrots anything the government says without doing their own independent verification to validate the truth or lack of truth in a statement the government gets out, would be well suited to, you know, give up journalism and go into being a publicist at one of the PR firms, because that's all you're doing. You're using your credibility, your credentials, your pedigree, like the New York Times does mercilessly, Washington Post, CNN, Anderson Cooper. These people, in my opinion, are the lowest of the low. They're flacks. They're hacks. When was the last time you saw them stand up to power? Oh, they'll stand up to someone, providing they're standing up to someone who is very puny by comparison. Remember, they have great resources behind them. But one of the things they don't have behind them is the truth. So they're not going to tell you the truth, in my opinion. They're going to tell you we have a booming economy. Well, how can it boom when the minimum of 95 million Americans are out of work, with another 6 million who can't find work and simply stop looking? That's over 100 million people who once work, can work, can find it, or find work that's piecemeal, part-time, and they're not even included in that 5.6% unemployment figure. Therefore, the real figure is closer to about 44%. But if you told the world we had 44% unemployment rate, then you're saying that we have unemployment rate worse than Spain, Portugal, Greece. They have debt to gross domestic product revenues of about anywhere between 200 to around 300%. And they're considered the worst of the worst. We have debt of 1,200% when you add up all the debts. But that's what a economist who has little credibility in my eyes, they're today's number alchemist. They have no more credibility to me than an alchemist. They keep missing everything, getting nothing right, and expect to be heard the next time they want a voice, as if they don't have a history, a legacy of being wrong. But they've been wrong. Everyone at the Federal Reserve was wrong. Everyone at Treasury was wrong. Everyone at all the major banks were wrong. Everyone on Wall Street was wrong, except a few who saw what was happening and took advantage of it and exploited it. But what about the average person? They're not economists. They don't know figures, and they're not going to. They trust other people to be honest with them, if only they knew. So we're going to have more jobs lost, not gained. And we're going to have a rapid pace of runaway climate change increasingly threatening the lives of billions of people. If national governments continue to ignore the urgency of the scientific community and the data and fail to collectively mobilize to face the immediate challenges, all of humanity, at best, might survive until the end of this century. But that is the best-case scenario. There's also a more realistic worst-case scenario. Now, I've been filming for the last 3 weeks almost on a regular daily basis, somewhere around the United States of the world. The people I've been filming have been those climatologists, those scientists, who have looked at the literature, and they don't quite know what to do with it. Because any time they try to tell you the truth, people say it can't be that bad. We don't want to hear bad news. And young people can't hear any news, because they're cupcakes. They're the most worthless generation in history, on just about every level. And you can blame their parents for that, who are about the worst generation of parents in world history. So if we do change, if we put all of our energies together, all meaning about 10% of the American population that actually care about life, other people, that have something that resembles character, honesty, morals, and decency, then we've got about 20 years left until we start hitting extinction level scenario. Well, let's just say we continue like we are. Hi, look at me, charming President of the United States. Oh, all of us were charming. Well, almost all, one was just a twit. But that's all right. You know, everybody has to have a Rain Man character in their group. And we had ours as the president, unfortunately. That's actually not being fair, because in the movie he was an idiot savant, and I work with idiot savants, and they're unique. We had a president only had half that equation right. He was an idiot. He was not a savant. That's unfortunate, but then again, that's my opinion of most people in the media, even the so-called liberal media, which is just as fascistic, just as corporate, just as selfish, just as self-interested, just as living in denial as any other media. They just want you to think of them as being different. We are the silken glove on an iron fist, and we label it liberal. We are the hand of God, iron fist, with no sensation, especially for the people that we are subjugating And that's the conservative. So you got two hands, neither of which are touching as gently, or nature, or animals. And as a result, everywhere we go and everything we do wrong. Never have that happened in the past as much as it is now. So what's the worst case scenario? Listen up. Here it is. This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of those I've spoken with who spent decades studying the subject. A mere 14 years away, 14 years during our lifetime, and then you'll start to see what. Well, our Earth is no longer akin to the planet we grew up in. The seasons are warmer, and during the past 136 years, 10 of the warmest years on record occurred since 2000. Periods of torrential rain, or long droughts, or bouts of extreme cold are more frequent. In September 2016, our Earth passed the 400 parts per million threshold. More and more CO2 now resides permanently in the atmosphere. Hence, the planet is warming far more rapidly than predicted. How bad is it? Our planet is now the hottest it's been in 115,000 years. Headlines appearing in the media steadily turn more dire and foreboding with each passing year. The Earth will cross the climate change danger threshold no later than 2036, but probably sooner because of feedback loops that cannot be controlled. Surge in methane emissions threatens efforts to slow climate change. Where's that methane coming from? From the ocean, from the frozen tundra, over 7 million miles of frozen tundra in Russia and going through the Arctic Circle, and it's melting, and all that methane is being released. That's a really bad thing. But if you're not there, you couldn't appreciate it. Global warming doubles the risk of Katrina magnitude storms. Climate change raises deadly health risks. Climate crisis will worsen world food crisis and increase child malnutrition. Global warming is changing the American way of life. But not if you're protected, seemingly so, in a cosmopolitan area where everywhere you go, everything you possibly want to eat is there. The quality of your life is maintained by temperature control inside your office and apartment. You don't see what everyone else who's out there living in different places see. You're kind of protected, but it's coming toward you. For example, it was about 5 or more years ago that we were told that a big chunk of ice called the Larsen B Shelf on Antarctica's coastline would crack within 100 to 150 years. It cracked and fell off 9 days later. We're now saying that the largest one ever is Larsen C. It's 70 miles long, 3/4 mile thick, and 300 yards wide. What would be the worst case scenario if in the next year that breaks off and goes into the water? Well, first, it would raise the water levels in some areas of the world by 11 feet. That would make it impossible for people in at least 50 of the largest cities in the world to continue a quality of life. Because when that comes in, your surges at night are going to go in, way in, thousands of feet, and that water won't come back out in the ocean. It'll go into the subsoil, into the aquifers, the salt water, destroy those. Think of all the submerged tunnels. You wouldn't have a Lincoln Tunnel or Holland Tunnel you could use in New York. You wouldn't be able to have electricity or gas or water because all those are underground. Those tunnels will be filled within 45 minutes. So that is what's coming when that happens. But then where do you get your food? Where are you going to put all those people? Yeah, you got an apartment. Excuse me, you got a building you look out over all this. But it's happening. As we saw from a category one that happened with our last hurricane, New York Sandy. Now we're not going to get those ones. We're going to get 4 or 5s. We're going to see a surge in dead zones in the ocean. where one dead zone alone at the mouth of the Mississippi is larger than the state of New Jersey. Nothing can live in it. There's no oxygen in the water. We're also going to have more flooding, more food crisis. In fact, climate change and global warming commenced over 250 years ago with the advent of the Industrial Age. In 1760, Great Britain and later other Western nations rapidly replaced human labor and traditional hand skills with power-driven machinery. The appearance of the steam engine and power looms revolutionized production. Coal became a major source of energy. The age of mass production had begun and quickly spread throughout the developed world. During the mid-19th century, petroleum products started to rise to global prominence, followed by other fossil fuels and the discovery of harnessing electricity. In order to keep the industrial capital engine running, the ideology of infinite growth, infinite profits emerged. We were told growth should be eternal, and hence all of the major robber barons and their children, and then all American industry is based upon we can continue to grow and prosper, but we must constantly get bigger. Monopolies, trust, the destruction of everything that was localized. And hence the privatization movement began. This represented a savaging of the planet, which continues at a rapid pace around the globe today. And it has further brought human civilization to its present impasse of irreversible climate change and degradation of the environment. And you think, well, how does this impact me, Gary? Well, if you're using palm oil, or you're in a restaurant that's using palm oil, that's causing the extinction of multiple species. 200 species every 24 hours goes permanently extinct. Chimpanzees are now becoming extinct because the jungles that they lived in are being torn down to put in these palm plantations. And then they're causing massive fires, which are continuing to pollute the sky. In some cases, so dense is the smoke that airlines can't fly around that area. They have to go 100 miles out of their way. And yet, go to Indonesia, any country in Indonesia, and say, what you're doing is destroying animal habitat. So now what we have is we have the exponential growth brought us into this twilight zone. And this twilight zone is completely uncertain. If we look at the global trends now underway, we can nevertheless find the evidence to guide us towards what humanity is ultimately headed. Speaking before Congress in 1988, former director of NASA's Institute for Space Studies, Dr. James Hansen, warned that the greenhouse effect is here, and humanity and governments must cease wavering and pretending everything is normal. 29 years later, the U.S. and the world's largest consumers of fossil fuel, India, Brazil, Russia, China, and other greenhouse gases, notably CO2, methane, nitrous oxide, aerosols, and chlorofluorocarbons, continue to dither and ignore the climatological evidence and forewarnings as the industrial machine churns ahead towards Frank Finner's prophetic doomsday scenario. International climate change agreements, such as the 2016 Paris Agreement, make everyone feel good. All of the NGOs and members of the different environmental groups, they all go and they have a great time. They're very optimistic. They're fools. None of this helps us at all. It's a kabuki dance. It mimics and pantomimes truth. It's there for other people to think we did something good. Well, then show me exactly which industries are closing. Show me what is mandated by law. Show me where everyone's going to put together energy proposals for methane being limited by going to a plant-based diet. Show me where you're going to close up factory farms. Show me where you're reinvesting in people moving back to land, 40 acres in the moon. Now give them 150 acres and a tractor and a free farmhouse. Go back to what will sustain the population and help heal the planet. No, we're not going to do that. But maybe at some point in the future, we might consider that. Right now, we're all feeling good. After all, we've made hundreds of millions of dollars every year for our environmental organizations. We're invited to sit with famous people and celebrities. And by the way, Leonardo DiCaprio comes in, ostensibly to care about the environment, but I'm also wondering how much he's interested in the people there, since he flies in on a private jet, flies back on a private jet, flies into New York on a private jet to pick up an environmental award, and then flies back to Cannes Film Festival on a private jet. Nothing speaks hypocrisy like a dim-witted celebrity, and most are. But we could add to them most of the population, because we're always going to defend our inappropriate, maladaptive choices. But what's not happening? We're not actually changing anything. Are we changing our buying habits? No. So what's this mean then? It means that just last year, human civilization reached a record high in fuel consumption. 40 billion metric tons of fossil fuels were burned that year. The US, China, and India are the worst offenders. Try to reason with any of the leaders in China. Try that on. There are no certain indications this trend will deaccelerate. It's going to accelerate. The Earth's natural processes are only capable of absorbing approximately 10 billion tons per year. That's about 25% of the current carbon dioxide emissions. The remaining 30 billion tons fill the atmosphere annually. And greenhouse gases blanket our planet and increase the temperature of the Earth's surface. If all the fossil fuel emissions were to cease today, the billions of metric tons of greenhouse gases would remain above our heads for decades, even hundreds of years, and global warming will continue. The most worrisome greenhouse gas is methane. The release of tens of billions of tons of methane in the near future is being described as a global time bomb for warming. Now, methane is the most potent greenhouse gas and contributes 28% of the global warming due to coal, natural gas, oil, fertilizer production, livestock, and other agricultural practices, and from the decay of enormous municipal solid waste dumps and landfills. In 2014, the Russian Ministry of Defense discovered an awakening deep beneath the Earth's surface. A vast crater 260 feet across was found in the harsh, remote Yamal Peninsula of Siberia. The cause remains unclear, but it's thought to have been sparked by an enormous explosive release of methane gas trapped in the frozen Siberian permafrost. These craters are nicknamed dragon burps, and they're increasing across the northernmost hemisphere as the tundras thaw during the longer, warmer seasons. A single 50-gigaton dragon burp of methane along the Arctic Circle could potentially contribute a 1.3 degrees Celsius rise in the planet's temperature. The release of all methane in the Arctic would lead to about a 5-degree methane increase. At that point, life's out. Life's over, it's done. In such heat, all animal, plant, and human life would become extinct. This entire expanse of the Arctic and Siberian permafrost, 9 million square miles, 24% of the total land surface of the Northern Hemisphere, is ticking swiftly towards runaway global warming. Our world is facing mounting extreme weather events, such as Category 4 and 5, and possibly Category 6 superstorms. We had last year 123,000 extreme weather events, prolonged droughts, dust storms, tornadoes, sandstorms, floods, endless wildfires. Last year, more acres were destroyed by wildfires than ever before in Indonesia, Australia, Canada, and the United States. And for the first time ever, the Arctic experienced its first wildfire. Rising sea levels along coastal regions threatening millions of people living in these large areas, you're going to have mass human and animal migrations and floods of refugees fleeing regions torn apart by climate change and resource wars. You're going to have worldwide crop failures, the loss of food security, loss of water, new infections and more virulent diseases like malaria, dengue, Lyme's, rapid degradation of fertile soil. In fact, if we last another 60 years, you won't have any regular farming left. And we're already witnessing the collapse of those industries most essential to sustain human life, fishing, farming, and environmental conservation. And already 2.5 billion people, as I'm speaking today, do not have enough to eat. And there are just many ways that we have missed this and choose not to become engaged. In another 5 to 15 years, climate change's tipping points are predicted to spin out beyond any human control. The Earth's temperature will predictably reach 4 degrees centigrade in the not-too-distant future. For every 1 degree of temperature rise, evaporation rates increase a minimum of 15%. Negative impacts of rainfall will affect most farming, rivers, freshwater reservoirs. At such time, there will no longer be any viable political approach. And then it's every person for themselves. At such time, humanity will enter its final countdown towards extinction. And then it'll be too late, at least for the majority. And we're not talking about something far away. We're talking about this beginning in the next 5 years. Many scientists have already declared it's too late. There will no longer be an opportunity to preserve habitat for our species and the millions of other species we depend upon for our survival. Climate change facts remain abstract. Their very impersonal nature contributes to climate change denialism. Therefore, the threat before us must touch us emotionally. The facts must pierce our lives before we can awake and act consciously. What might we expect during the next 5 to 15 years? Before 2020? Remember, 2017, so it's only 13 years. How will climate change and rapidly rising temperatures impact our daily lives? Scientists predict we're going to be experiencing an awful lot of extreme superstorms. And you're going to have a whole lot more hurricanes, typhoons, food and drought shortages. 39% of all Americans live along the coastline. The recovery from a single Category 4 superstorm crashing in New York City would be over $500 billion. You would have 500 million tons of seawater would flood New York Harbor. The storm surge that follows would rise up 11 to 15 feet in height. It would stretch across Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, totally flooded. 2,900 miles of roads and highways would be flooded. The Manhattan subway system would be filled within 45 minutes. JFK Airport would be under 19 feet of water. All transportation, including emergency vehicles, would screech to a halt. All electricity would be gone. 10 power plants would shut down, including emergency generating power cell phone towers. Evacuation or escape? Not possible. For a city of 8.4 million residents, injuries and deaths would be astronomical. After an 8 to a 12-hour ordeal, New York will simply be a city not recognizable. And this is not a scene from a Hollywood blockbuster fantasizing the apocalypse. This is not about rapturing. This is the real conclusions from calculations conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Australian scientists warned that 11-foot sea level rise due to the Antarctic ice sheets melting faster than expected will permanently flood 85% of all counties around Miami. Large portions of Boston, Charleston, South Carolina, New Jersey, or Jersey City, Hoboken, New Orleans, and other metropolitans will be evacuated. If the Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets melt altogether, you're looking at 200-foot rise in water. That will take longer. But before we get to the big ones, we're going to have a lot of little ones. Little but deadly. The prestigious Union of Concerned Scientists has over 100,000 members educated in the sciences. The organization is forewarned about the deliberate campaign underway to deceive the public about the hard facts and calamitous risks of climate change. But the government and those in private industries that profit from environmental collapse are determined to keep the population misinformed. Our mainstream media is nothing more than their mouthpiece. Newsrooms are commissioned to ignore the climatological and environmental analysis that should alarm all of us. The world's most common varieties of rice are going to disappear because they can't take the heat. Wheat harvests are going to fall precipitously every year, and then you're going to see that coming to the United States. Just for those listening from California, over 90% of the nation's broccoli, celery, cauliflower, garlic, and almonds, and walnuts are grown in the Golden State. California yields per acre are also the highest in the nation. This year, the state entered the fifth year of its worst mega drought, and it's going to continue. 100% of the state was forced into a water emergency condition. Under such conditions, the overall impact is huge. As a result, less acreage in order to reduce water usage, lower crop yields, high energy costs to access less available water sources, and loss of jobs. the corn and wheat belts in the middle of the country like Kansas, Nebraska, are even more vulnerable to the growing impacts of drought, floods, and dust storms. Almost everyone on the planet lives at some level of climate change denial. But that can change. If it does not, then we've got problems. If it does, then we have solutions. And for those of us who are not going to wait or get permission, we're making changes, changes that can make enormous difference. I'm Gary Nall, and that's our report to the listeners on the state of the world and its environment this year. Just want to take one thing before we finish up our show, and I'm going to allow some phone calls on our talkback for you to call in and share your points of view. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. To help with the solutions part, I'm going to be releasing the most definitive book I've ever written on the environment in the next 3 months. It's done. But I want to tie it into this movie so the movie and the book come out together. I'm also going to be releasing at least one article per week on what we can do to survive the catastrophic events coming, on environmental issues over the internet. I'll be holding a monthly webinar on environmental issues, showing a film, and then having a discussion about every other month in the next 12 months. So we're going to do a lot to share what we can do. And for those who are joining us at our January retreat, I don't know, even know if there's any seats left, I'm going to be spending a lot of time showing people how to build and design and maintain their own hydroponic house, so they'll have endless amounts of food, how to go off the grid for your power, and how to prepare for the future. If there is any room, and again, I'm not sure that there is because we were filled up, you can call Luann Panessi. That's on January 8th for a week. It's going to be a wonderful week for detoxing, examining life, de-stressing, and empowering yourself. You can call her at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. And finally, I haven't been able to give you a special on the antioxidant elixir because we've been out of it. Well, today we just got it back in. Now, of all the different creations I've made, green stuff, red stuff, berry blast, greens and grains, cruciferous stuff, power berry blast, the one that I believe will do the most inside your body, inside your cells, inside your brain, your heart, your muscles, your eyes, is the anti-aging elixir. This is a wonderful liquid. By the way, because I'm not homogenizing it, it separates. All you have to do is just shake it before you use it. And it's not sweet. There are bitters in there, but not strong bitters, because there are a lot of things that are naturally sweet. There's only 25 calories, great for diabetics. Here's what you're getting, and understand this is vegan. This is the ingredient list. Organic apple juice and organic mangosteen, organic tart cherry, organic pomegranate, organic SAI, organic nopal, organic turmeric, organic ginger, organic sea buckthorn, ascorbic acid, vitamin C, organic mango, organic papaya, pectin, organic guar, organic lychee, organic beetroot, organic aloe vera, organic goji or wolfberry, elderberry, cranberry, blueberry, cacao, kakadu, plum, moringa, baobab, which is one of the oldest trees in Africa with one of the most powerful fruits in the world on it, organic macai, stevia. That's what's in it. Anti-aging elixir. It's the ultimate super concentrate drink. It's a concentrate, so you don't drink it out of a bottle. Take one capful. Again, shake the bottle because it'll separate. That doesn't mean it's bad, it just means that I chose not to homogenize to keep it as powerful and potent as possible. And then just take a capful each day. Now it's normally about $60, $59.95. The lowest price we've ever offered is today, $35.95. The number to call to get this is Let me just see the number here. I'm trying to find my number. I'm on location right now, so not my studio. 877-627-5065. Again, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And that would be terrific. And so, anyhow, we're out of time. I'm sorry that we didn't get to your calls. I'll get to them on another show. When I'm on location, sometimes we don't have the technical quality. Sometimes there's buzzing and clicks and everything else that happens. Hopefully it won't in our next program. You have a wonderful holiday, everyone, and I'll look forward to seeing you back tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time. Have a nice day.